Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show. Episode 177 to be exact, and it's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. This is a practical show, no tinfoil hat kind of stuff here. I just keep this rooted in common sense. I'm an everyday guy talking about how to be more prepared for some of the disasters that may come our way, whether they're big or whether they're small disasters. Every type of a disaster, every type of an emergency is something that we should be paying attention to, whether it's losing a job, whether it's a medical bill or some kind of a sickness that causes a big financial hardship in your family. If a weather event comes through, whatever happens to be the case, that's what we talk about on this show, and it's what I like to cover. And so this show is dedicated to listener feedback. I've been getting a lot of emails. I have not been ignoring them. I want you to know that I have been reading your emails. They're very good. I'm going to cover some of them. Please forgive me if I don't cover all of them. I just can't get to all of them. Otherwise, this podcast would be way too long. But let's cover some of them that have recently come to me here, and I'm going to use mainly screen names or first names. And by the way, if you want to send me some feedback, bob@todayssurvival.com. That's bob@todayssurvival.com. Also, you can put some comments on the forum if you want. Please join Today's Survival Show forum. You can go to todayssurvival.com, click the forum button. It'll take you to where you need to go. Please do me a favor. If you join our forum, please send me a quick email at bob@todayssurvival.com. And tell me that you've joined. That way I know that you're not a spammer. I've been getting a lot of spammers trying to get in. So what I do is I have to approve every account before you're allowed to post on the forum. I will do that quickly. I check it a couple of times every day. So just send me a quick email saying who you are and you'd like to get in on the forum and that you just registered. Tell me your username or the email that you used, and I'll get your account approved as quick as possible. All right. A gentleman by the name of What's Up, that's his screen name on Today's Survival Show forum, he sent me a pretty good email here. He said, Bob, if you're going to print out a lot of things into a binder, in an episode a few weeks back, I talked about developing a survival binder. I've mentioned this before in different podcasts, but he's specifically talking about one that I recently did. He said, a handy utility is called Fine Print. That's www.fineprint.com. And it's a pretty good resource. So I went to it, and I'll put a link, by the way, in the forum. On the forum, I start a thread for every episode. So episode 177 will have its own thread, and I'll put a link to fineprint.com. But he said it lets you print 1, 2, 4, or 8 pages on a single page. And if you have a good quality laser printer, even the small print is very readable. He says the reason he likes it is as long as you have a PDF factory window open, you can keep printing to the same PDF document, and it's a very handy way to keep adding pages from multiple sources to a single document. Now, I didn't know this. He said, so you can get a feel for it, and he said he printed some pages from the excellent LDS preparedness manual, 2 pages to a page and 4 pages to a page using fine print. So I thought that was pretty good. So, you know, we talked about storing info in a recent episode. How do you store your survival information? That was episode number 173. And basically, that was inspired by ThoxBuddy from the forum. He sent me some pretty good information on that. What's Up also says he stores all of his prep and survival documents on DVDs as a backup. I do the same. DVDs and flash drives. I've got a 1 gigabyte external hard drive, and I'm sorry, 750 gigabyte external hard drive, which I keep a lot of stuff on, and that's about as high tech as I get. So, but I keep a lot of that stuff available. You know, keep in mind, a computer can still be a valuable survival tool as long as you have a way to power it. And if you have a generator, if you lose power for a long time, you can still use your computers, even if there's some kind of a disaster that wipes out internet connection. You know, storing preparedness information. Again, I'm a big fan of the three-ring binders. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here at my desk right now, and I'm looking at four of them that I have put together. And I didn't even use fine print to put these together. So I think I'm going to start using this service from now on, because it'll definitely be able to take up a lot less space. And, of course, as preppers, we all know space is a premium. Space is definitely a premium service to being able to store all of our stuff. So what's up? Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for sending that in and letting us know about that. Okay, next, an email came to me by a gentleman named Lewis. And he said, "Hey, Mr. Main, my name is Lewis, and I started listening to your show about a month ago, and he really enjoys it. And thank you very much. I appreciate the compliments." He says he's been a prepper for a couple of years, and he works for the government, so the budget is always tight, and he stocks up little by little. Well, that's the way to do it, Lewis, just baby steps, little by little. He said, but his wife, he says, "I think she sees this as a funny or a paranoid hobby. We've had discussions where I try to tell her here that it's a hope for the best and plan for the worst lifestyle, or think of it as insurance, but she says it's scary to think about scenarios where we would have to bug out. And how would you try to convince your wife to get on board?" is his question to me. His wife's a nurse, so she would have very valuable set of skills and an outlook in a survival situation. Well, you know, Lewis, this is a tough question. First of all, thank you for sending me the email. Convincing a spouse is not easy if they're not on board. One of the things that I have found that works well for me is that sometimes you just have to wait until an event happens in your life. You know, sometimes, and hopefully it's not a major event. You know, gosh, I hope it's not something catastrophic that happens, you know, to where you find yourself unprepared. But, you know, sometimes that's what it takes, I guess. Sometimes it just takes something happening to trigger in someone's mind, "Oh, you know what? Hey, I need to prepare now." Unfortunately, that's the way it is. You know, I spent a lot of time in the security systems business. Many years I spent both selling and managing salespeople, selling home alarm systems, and commercial. I expanded my horizons into commercial security and access control and cameras and things like that. And for quite a few years, I did that. I'm not quite in that business anymore. But what was really interesting was that people always waited until something happened. They waited until they were broken into before they called me about an alarm system. I would knock on their door, I'd go out, I'd set an appointment, I'd do a presentation, and they would resist. They just simply would not buy. Until they got broken into. Then they'd be calling me up, "Hey, Bob, you know what? I want to get that security system after all. And by the way, can you be here by this afternoon to install it?" You know? And it was like, I pulled my hair out. I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm thinking, well, I didn't say this to the person, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, a couple of months ago, I did a presentation. I even gave you a really good price point to get you involved, to get you start protecting your business or protecting your home. And you didn't do it. And now, after something happens, now you want it, you'll pay almost any price to get it, and you want it installed today. Funny, but that's human nature, isn't it? So, Lewis, try the best you can. You know, it sounds like that she's scared, and she doesn't want to think about some of that stuff, and that's the problem that we have, is a lot of people are in denial, or they just don't want to think about it. Maybe you might have to just wait until something happens. And then use that opportunity to say, "Hey, you know, this, honey, is one of the reasons why I'm into preparedness." That's about, you know, all I can think of. I mean, it's, if you have a spouse that's not on board, it's not easy. But just stick with it. Persistence is the key, is what I can say. Persistence is the key. You know, it's kind of like carrying a gun. A lot of people never think about carrying a gun, or they go, "Oh, I would never carry a gun," until all of a sudden one day, unfortunately, God forbid, all of a sudden they get attacked, or someone tries to bust into their home, and ding, 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 all of a sudden now the lights come on. Hey, guess what? Geez, maybe I better think about doing this. Maybe I better think about taking my own personal security into my own hands, because nobody else is going to do it for me. Hope that helps, Lewis. But, you know, I'm sorry that you have to go through that. And you have a spouse that's not completely on board. It happens. It happens to all of us. We all have family members that are not completely on board. Sometimes, like I said, it just takes an event to happen. And then, you know, sometimes they turn around. Thanks for the email. Okay, next up is an email that comes from Brian, and Brian wanted to take issue with something, and that's okay. Hey, I like it, folks. I like it when you guys take issue with something I say. I am by no means 100% correct on everything. You should not believe that I'm 100% correct on everything. If you do, something is wrong. Do not believe everything I say because I make mistakes, folks. I am a human being. I am a flawed human being. And, you know, I really appreciate it when you guys send me stuff like this. So Brian says he wants to briefly take issue with my episode 170, 72 hours consumption of canned food. He says the first 24 or 28 hours should be spent eating your ordinary food out of your refrigerator and freezer. Canned reserves should not get tapped so quickly unless it's time to rotate that stock anyway. Very, very good point. I forgot to mention that. Thank you, Brian. Absolutely. You know, your stored food, if a disaster happens, obviously eat the stuff that is going to spoil quickly. The stuff that is in your refrigerator, in your freezer, you know, get to that quickly. So that was kind of a slip up on my part. Thanks for the correction, Brian. I appreciate that. Now, he says, for a little elaboration, if the incident is a little longer, that food's going to spoil anyway. And if it isn't spoiled, you're likely not to trust it and throw it out. If the event has dissipated and things are in the recovery phase, like, for example, the storm has passed and you're just waiting for the roads to be cleared of the tree and the debris and the power to be restored, then greet your neighbors, fire up the grill, maybe put it out in front in the cul-de-sac, and go for it. It should go like the old Stone Soup children's story, and your neighbors would turn out in a potluck fashion. Use it as a teachable moment to encourage your neighbors to be more prepared. You know, And that's a good point, Brian, and this is one of the reasons why I'm a big believer in survival networks and getting to know your neighbors as much as you can and gently bringing up the preparedness topic with your neighbors and with your friends and things like that. You'd be surprised. You know, if you talk about the people that you, or if you talk to the people that you live near, you might be surprised how much into preparedness they already are. Now, I happen to live in the suburbs here in the San Antonio area. I do not live out in the country. I wish I did right now, but I don't. And I've already had a couple of discussions here in my neighborhood about prepping. And it is, I am surprised by how many people actually already are taking some steps to being prepared. Prepping is becoming much more mainstream. So, Brian, thanks very much for the email. Next one comes from Tyler. And he says, hey, Bob, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Vital Stove. Vital Stove. It's a fairly new fuel-less camp stove. It uses twigs, pine cones, anything that'll burn, and uses a small battery, and the battery life is long, he says, operated fan and damper, which forces air up through the burning material and will boil a cup of water in about a minute and a half. Cool. The fire is contained in the wind guard, which also acts as the stovetop. It's small, easy to use, and with the damper, you can easily regulate the temperature. The only downside is having to add fuel during cooking, but almost anything can be used as fuel, and therefore you don't have to worry about having to use too much fuel for a traditional stove in long cooking dishes. You can find reviews on YouTube. It's a really nifty camp stove. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to YouTube, and I'm going to search Vital Stove, and I'll put a link on the forum for episode 177. Tyler, thank you very much. You know, we're all looking for ways to cook. As preppers, that's one of the, you know, it's one of the mainstays. It seems like that's what everybody wants to do, is to try to figure out how to cook, alternative ways to cook in case our primary method of cooking, and a good fuel-less camp stove like that, I think, is pretty cool. And so you've piqued my interest. I will go to YouTube, look at a quick review on that, and then post that on the forum. Check that out, folks, under the episode 177 thread. Thanks, Tyler, for the email. Appreciate that. Okay, next email comes from Mike in New Jersey, and he says, Bob, I'm new to your podcast and would like to ask if you've addressed or have suggestions for the folks that live in regions up in the Northeast, specifically if the stink hits the fan in locations like New York and New Jersey. What can folks like myself do to prepare for the staggering amount of people who will likely be going crazy? And he wants to know about the following. Evacuation suggestions, getting out of high traffic locations quickly. He lives very close to the Atlantic. It seems to be that to group with others in this type of situation makes the most sense. And he wants to know how not to become a target while evacuating with go bags and tactical looking items. And what type of weaponry makes sense protecting children? I have three under 12. Mike, this is an interesting question. Let's talk about weapons first. In New York, New Jersey, you have such oppressive weapons laws that, you know, I would say you're going to have to get creative with things like pepper spray or mace and stuff like that. You're going to have to check your local laws. Again, I am not a legal expert. I don't keep up with the laws of every single state. New Jersey and New York are very, very oppressive with their gun laws. You know, a lot of things can be used as a weapon. You can improvise a lot. You can improvise baseball bats and sticks and coup batons and knives. You know, if you go back and you listen to the show I did on non-lethal weapons, it was based on a guest post that was done for me. Let me see if I can find it here. A guest post that was done for me on less than lethal weapons, and then I made a podcast out of it as well. And, here it is. It was episode 166, Non-Lethal Self-Defense Weapons. You know, Joseph Morris gave me a guest post, and it was pretty good. And right below that, by the way, if you go to todayssurvival.com, you'll see where he wrote the pros and cons of some of the three most popular non-lethal self-defense weapons. Some of those might be applicable to your area in New York and New Jersey. As far as being in a crowded area, if the stink hits the fan, a lot of people will be going crazy. That is a major concern. Yes. You know, as a matter of fact, I would say that should be number one on your list. If it's not, sounds like it is. Because you're going to have a ton of people in that area that are not prepared. In groups, I don't know, man. I'd be kind of leery about that, because in your group, you may have a lot of unprepared people that can really screw things up for you. How not to become a target while evacuating. Avoid the tactical looking items. I'm kind of a Simple Simon kind of guy. I don't like to be real tactical looking. Even when I carry a gun, I don't like to be tactical looking. I like to look like an everyday guy, you know, just minding his own business. A backpack is not going to be a target. So, you know, have a good backpack. I love internal frame packs, for example. I have a JanSport internal frame pack that I picked up at Academy for less than $60. That's my bug out bag. And it works great. It just looks like I'm going on a hiking trip. And, you know, I'm not going to probably draw a whole tremendous amount of attention with that, but yet I've got a lot of cool things inside of that bug out bag or that emergency evacuation bag that are going to help me out. So looking as innocuous as you possibly can, especially in a crowded area like that, Mike, I think is probably going to be, it's going to serve you well. Getting out of high traffic locations. Here's one thing that I would suggest. You know your area. Get a map, a printed map of your area. Even if you go to Google Maps and you print it off of Google Maps. Get a yellow highlighter. Find approximately where you live on that map. And map out a half a dozen ways out of your area. And then memorize those. Use the yellow highlighter to figure out at least a half a dozen ways on how to get out of where you're at. And memorize those. You don't want to rely on GPS. If the stink hits the fan, the GPS satellites might not be working. They could, but you don't want to rely on that. You want to have printed maps. Again, keep these in your survival binder. I do. Know the different ways to get out. Have a way to evacuate on foot. In a crowded area like the Northeast, you never know. I hate to say that. I mean, it's not a practical way, but if it's your last resort, you need to know how to get out of there on foot. So plan that as well and have it written. And again, then this way, if you have to get out of Dodge, grab your survival binder. You got your map. You've highlighted it. You've gone over it in your mind a couple different times, several different times. Maybe you've memorized it. Now it's easier for you to get out. That's what I would suggest. That's a good question, Mike, because in a crowded area, in New Jersey, in New York, in the heavily populated districts, yes, it is going to be a problem. And that is something that you have to think about. Hopefully, my answer there has helped you a little bit. And thanks for sending that in, Mike. I very much appreciate that. And thanks for listening to my show. Okay, next email comes from a gentleman named Ben. And by the way, Ben shares a sentiment that a lot of people do. I get this email a lot. It's about being new to prepping and feeling overwhelmed, which is pretty easy to do. As a matter of fact, somebody recently sent me an email that said they've been watching the new TV series Doomsday Preppers, and they're feeling overwhelmed by watching that. So Ben says he's a bit overwhelmed by what he's learning, and he started listening to podcasts and things right after Hurricane Irene. And he says he feels the need to borrow from his retirement and go get all sorts of stuff, go buy a bunch of stuff. But he realizes that's impulsive. So his thinking is he'd rather spend some of it now to get some peace of mind instead of waiting another 30 years. So he wanted me to do him a favor. He said, could I or someone recommend a step-by-step list or welcome prepping guide for newbies? In other words, where do you start? Ben, very, very good question. I'm going to give you a short answer, and then I'm going to give you some resources. First of all, don't go cashing in retirement and stuff like that and spending money that you shouldn't on buying a bunch of stuff, little by little. I'll give an example. Every time I go to the grocery store, I buy an extra $5 to $10 worth of extra food. So my wife and I put together a grocery list, and she says, this is what we need. And then when I go to the grocery store to pick it up, or when she goes to the grocery store to pick it up, we buy a little bit extra. Now, our budget's not huge. Usually it's about $10 or $12 extra. You'd be very, very surprised, Ben, what you can get for 12 bucks. And so we buy a little extra, and we put it away. And if you do that every single time you go to the store, slowly but surely, you start building up your food stores. Same with supplies. You know, if I need some extra duct tape or if I need some extra first aid supplies. Sorry about the little interruption there, folks. I had a little cough. I'm still trying to beat back a cold here a little bit. I actually caught a case of the flu, and you know, that's something that, thank God I was prepared for, and it helped to overcome that, but you have to prepare for everything. So let's talk about that, you know, extra medicine, even if it's over-the-counter medicine, and first aid supplies. Little by little, stocking up on some of that stuff, slowly but surely. Try not to get intimidated, folks. Try not to get overwhelmed. You know, this new show, Doomsday Preppers, I have to say I have not been watching it. But if it's like most shows, most TV shows on preppers, I'm really glad that this kind of stuff is out there. I'm glad that prepping is becoming more mainstream. I'm glad to see attention being brought to it. That I'm thankful for. Excuse me, another crack in the voice. But it can be overwhelming for people. Just start little by little. That's the best thing I can tell you is, you know, baby steps, a little here and a little there. As far as resources, well, if you go back and listen to some of my older podcasts and if you jump on the forum and look at some of the threads that are on the forum, we do talk about, and I've talked about, how to get started. Now, speaking of older podcasts, a lot of you have been emailing me wondering why some of my older podcasts are not available on iTunes, and I don't know why. I changed my feed provider. I didn't change the feed that you subscribe to, but I changed the service that puts the feeds onto iTunes. And for some reason, it's only putting the last 50 or 60 episodes on there. Until I get that fixed, for now, just go to todayssurvival.com and find the podcast that you want. And then if you look at it, it says download our podcast. There's a link there that says download a podcast. All you have to do is click where it says listen to today's episode and then save that to your desktop, and then you can import that over into your iPod if you want. or your MP3 player, or your Droid device, whatever it is. I'll get that fixed. I'll get it fixed pretty quickly. But if you want to go back and listen to some of the older shows, I'm sorry, that's the only way to do it right now. Also, our forum is a great resource. There's a lot of excellent information on there. You don't have to be a member to look at what's on there, but I would love to have you join. So Ben's question also asks, you know, where do you start prepping? What do you worry about first and second and so on? Ben, what you worry about first is food and water. Food and water, food and water. You cannot survive without food and water. Set a goal of getting 30 days worth of food stored as quickly as you can. So, make a list of what you eat in a month. And it might take a while. But sit down and figure out what it is that you eat in a month. Just some generalities. And then have 2 months worth of that stored and get that as quickly as you can. So think about that. That gets you to 60 days. So what do you eat? You know, there's an old saying, Jack Spearco on the Survival Podcast was the first one I heard say this, but he might not be the only one that's ever talked about this. Eat what you store and store what you eat. Okay? That, you know, think about what is it that you eat? That's what you should store. And then eat that. And it gives you peace of mind. The great thing about storing food, by the way, Ben, is that you can store it at today's prices. Food prices are going up. Buy as much as you can. Water. Have plenty of water. Have a few gallons per person per day. Even if you have to just store plastic bottles of water. That's what I did when I got started. I just bought the plastic bottles of water, the gallon jugs of water at the grocery store. You have to watch the expiration dates. They do expire. Rotate, rotate, rotate. But I just made sure I had 30 days worth of bottled water on hand. That's not very expensive, by the way. Now, I didn't go out and buy 30 days at a time. Like I said, I did it little by little. Every time I went to the grocery store, I picked up an extra gallon, found it for 99 cents a gallon, bought a few gallons. You know, trying to just do this on the budget is the key. But that's where you start, food and water. First aid, I think, is another thing that should be high on your list. First aid and extra medicine, over-the-counter medicine, extra prescription medications, by the way. Ben, have you ever thought about that? And for those of you who are new to prepping, whatever prescription meds that you take, if some kind of a disaster happens and you can't get to the pharmacy, you can't get to a place to get your medicine, do you have a 90-day supply of it? Many medicines that you take can be dispensed in 90-day increments. Not all, but many of them can. All the medicines that I take, except for one, can be dispensed in 90 days, and I've asked my doctors to write me 90-day prescriptions. Saves money, by the way, if you have health insurance and you have copays. It does save money doing it that way, making one copay for a 90-day supply. So think about that. That's another area where I would strongly suggest that you start. And these should be at the top of your list. Shelter, obviously. You know, I'm not a big fan of bugging out. I would like to stay in my home if at all possible. If for some reason I have to evacuate from here, I do have alternative plans. I don't own a remote bug out location, but I have family members and friends that I have made agreements with that will give me places where I can go and I can stay if I have to leave. Again, bugging in, staying in my home, in the comfort of my home, where I sit right now. That is the most important, and that's my primary goal, is to stay at home. And so I try to have as many resources as I possibly can. And earlier in this podcast, you know, I talked about somebody sent me some information about a camping stove and stuff. You know, have that kind of stuff. Have alternative methods of cooking at your home, ways that you can cook your food, boil water, and stuff like that. Now, Ben asks another good question here. What things do you keep an eye out for during daily travels? And I travel every single day, just about. You know, one of the things that I keep an eye out for, you know, Ben, I like to keep my situational awareness very, very high. I look for out-of-the-ordinary things. I look for out-of-the-ordinary behavior. One of the best websites, one of the best resources I can refer you to is a website called NoNonsenseSelfDefense.com. NoNonsenseSelfDefense.com. You can Google that or you can put that into your address bar. Mark McYoung and Diana McYoung, it's their website. It's a fantastic website. I read it about once a month. I read a couple of articles on there. It's very, very good with situational awareness. And they spend a lot of time answering your question, Ben. They spend a lot of time talking about what should you be looking for if you're traveling. And they study a lot of human behavior and how to recognize people that are up to no good. I've talked about their website on this podcast before. That's an excellent resource. Check it out, NoNonsenseSelfDefense.com. Now, Ben also asks, what shouldn't you skimp on? That is a very, very good question, sir. Don't skimp on food. Don't skimp on water. Don't skimp on first aid materials and clothing. You've got, you know, good clothing in a disaster situation is so important. So many people find themselves so unprepared. You know, if it's cold outside, they don't have the right types of coats and boots and things to keep themselves warm. I mean, it's amazing some of the basics. Don't skimp on the basics. Okay, you know, do you need to go out and spend a whole bunch of money on a generator right away? Well, probably not. A generator is good to have. A generator is a fantastic thing to have. Get your basics out of the way first. Don't skimp on the basics. Skimp on the stuff like a generator. You know, firearms. I'm a big gun lover, folks. Most of you know I do another podcast called The Handgun World Show, where all we do is talk about guns. If you've got, if you live in an area where firearms are legal, you should have at least one. Okay? You should have some way to defend yourself. But, you know, skimp on your firearms purchases at first so that you can use that money and use those resources to put away other preps that are much more important. You can't eat your bullets and you can't eat your guns. As much as it pains me to say that, I'm such a gun lover and I really believe in a person's right to self-defense. And I've got a pretty successful handgun world show over on the Gun Rights Radio Network. And I will always be a prepper when it comes to firearms. And I will always be training. And I will always be out there trying to better myself with the use of a firearm. I firmly believe in that. I also believe that it's a necessary prep. It definitely is necessary. If you live in an area where it's legal for you to own it, it's definitely a necessary prep, but I don't think that I would put it on the top five. If I'm trying to figure out how to prioritize, I think food, water, shelter, first aid, clothing, and finances, those are probably should be on the top of your list, and then probably firearms right after that. Now, if you have no way to defend yourself and your property, and it's legal for you to own guns, go get something, even if it's just an inexpensive firearm, even if it's just a pump 12-gauge or 20-gauge shotgun that you can get for a couple hundred dollars. Go get something so you can defend your home and property. Okay? So, hey, Ben, hopefully that answers your question. And I really believe that that was a great question. Thank you. I hope you guys that are feeling so overwhelmed and stuff like that, look at some of these TV shows out there like Doomsday Preppers and some of the others out there. Look at them for the entertainment value and the educational value. But don't think that you have to go be stocked up like those people instantly right away. And don't put yourself in a financial bind. I'm a big believer in financial prepping, folks. I'm a big believer in managing your finances because, after all, you got to have money to prepare. And so that's why I think managing your finances should be near or at the top of your list. Very, very simple philosophy that I now live by. I didn't used to do this, but it's a very, very simple philosophy. Spend less than you make. I mean, you know, that sounds so simple, but you'd be so amazed how many people don't do that. Spend less than you make. Wouldn't it be nice if our government would adopt that philosophy, huh? Spend less than you make. How hard is that? People get themselves in so much trouble, they're spending more than what they make. Very simple philosophy. Dave Ramsey changed my life. If you've never read the book Total Money Makeover, there's a place to start when it comes to prepping. If you're a new prepper and you're feeling overwhelmed, let me recommend the book by Dave Ramsey called Total Money Makeover. It completely changed my life and my outlook. If you live by those principles, you will be well on your way to preparing because it will help you get financially prepared. And you know what the cool thing is about getting financially prepared? The cool thing is when you get your finances in order, everything else starts to fall into place. Everything else, you start taking a prepper attitude about everything else. It seems like it starts with finances. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. Get your financial house in order, and almost everything else will start to fall into place, and you'll become better prepared. It's an interesting phenomenon, but it's true. So check that out and get that book and read it. I would say put that at the top of your list as well. Now, another good email comes from Cliff in Washington, and he was talking about my show that I did on non-lethal or less lethal weapons. And Cliff says, hey, Bob, the correct term is less lethal. And he's right, less lethal. That's a much better term than non-lethal. Pepper spray, tasers, beanbag rounds, expandable batons, and anything else has killed people if they're used improperly. He says, I've had two people try to use a pencil or a pen to attack me. Pretty much anything can be used as a lethal weapon, from a chair to sunglasses. And Cliff goes on to say in his email, as a police explorer, I was tasered and I've been sprayed. I would take a taser any day. It's more direct than pepper spray, and the taser C2 reaches up to 15 feet. And if it has both probes, it will disable someone for 30 seconds. And if you use it for self-defense and drop it to get to safety, the taser will send you a free replacement as long as you provide a police report. And Cliff is going to be at the Mag 40 class that I'm going to be taking in May. For those of you who don't know what Mag 40 is, Mag means M-A-G means Masada Yub Group, and it's a 40-hour handgun training course and self-defense course. So I'm going to be seeing Cliff at Mag 40 in Arkansas, and I'll be taking that course in May. And he says he's going to bring a Taser C2 to that class, and let me check it out. So that's going to be kind of cool. So Cliff, thanks for that email. I appreciate that. That's good information. Thanks for sharing that. And you're right, less lethal because, again, you know, almost anything can be used as a weapon. If you take martial arts and you take any kind of weapons training in martial arts, they teach you how to improvise and use things as weapons. So you're right. Less lethal is probably much more of a correct term. Okay, that pretty much for this episode is going to wrap up some of the emails that I wanted to cover. Again, I can't get to all of them. I had to pick the ones that I thought were going to be real appropriate for this show. Please keep them coming. Some of you who have already sent me emails, if I didn't cover it now, I am going to be covering it coming up in the future. Probably once a month I'm going to do a listener feedback show like this so I can get to some of your emails, because you guys send me some really, really good stuff. So keep them coming. If you want to send me an email, bob@todayssurvival.com. Also, I welcome audio podcasts, audio submissions. In other words, if you want to send me a recorded audio miniature podcast and some comment, please feel free. Some of you already have done that. I've put you on the show. Good stuff. Thank you very much for doing that, because you know what? This should be a listener-supported and a listener-participated show. I want this to be your show as well as mine. So that's kind of the goal here that I actually originally set out this show to be back in 2009 when I very first started it. So with that said, folks, I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Today's Survival Show, and I appreciate the time that you take. You know, I'm trying to put these out once a week, and I appreciate you downloading this once a week. It means a lot to me that the listener count continues to grow and so forth, and the forum participation is pretty healthy. So thanks for listening to another episode of Today's Survival Show. I'm Bob Main. It's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Oh, and by the way, Before I let you go, don't forget about my Survival Champions Club podcast. Both versions are now available for $20. Sorry, I had to grab a phone call there. Both versions are available for $20. The newest, Wade in Louisiana, spent some extra time talking about growing, harvesting, and using herbs. So if you remember that episode I did a couple of weeks back where I had, maybe it was actually the last episode. My mind is escaping me right now. Anyway, more from Wade in Louisiana on herbs, how to use them, how to grow them, how to harvest them, how to store them. And then I'm combining that with Matt Brasek from Midwest Disaster Medical on preparing yourself with first aid and so forth like that, and medical techniques and disaster medical, and my good friend Matt Chusnick on knife and tool sharpening, all that kind of stuff. Both of those are only $20 that help support my show. So go to todayssurvival.com, click the Buy Now button. I will send you both of those. They're exclusive podcasts. I've never covered that information on Today's Survival Show before. That's all, folks. Thanks a lot. Take care, and I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.